1969, Canoga Park, California. Two families started coming over to our house to study the Bible with me. And they had selected some material to guide me called Indestructible Foundations. Let me back up. There's supposed to be a picture here or something. Yeah, maybe not. There it is. Indestructible Foundations. Still have the book. 8.5 by 11. 55 pages. No pictures. Just all fine print. It was indeed a detailed study. And the preface was written in 1966, so it was a current piece of literature to look into. And, of course, Isaiah was one of the things that was mentioned in the preface. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone. Kind of fits in with this morning's message, doesn't it? A costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. All right, there were charts in this book. Each chapter started off with a chart, and then there was all the material that justified this topic that was under discussion. And chart number two, or chapter number two, was the Bible is the Word of God. And as one of the proofs that the claim that's made in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness is fulfilled prophecy. So one of the things that we looked at was a lot of prophecies that had been fulfilled in the Bible, showing that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Isaiah said, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no other like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established. So prophecy would sometimes tell of things that were going to happen in the future. Well, if just one Old Testament prophecy failed, this would prove that the God of the Bible is not the true God. Well, a recent issue of Bible and Spade, it's a magazine I get that has a lot of archaeological study information, studies, current studies that are going on. And this month's series was on fulfilled Bible prophecies. And so I'm going to talk about one of those tonight. Not the usual one that people point to, and that is, you know, Daniel chapter 8 and the various kingdoms that were predicted by Daniel. And the way people deal with that is well, Daniel wrote that, or somebody wrote that after it all happened. That's why that's fulfilled properly. I'm going to deal with one, a different prophecy. I'm going to deal with a prophecy associated with Tyre. Not things that are on your car, although that is the English spelling of wheels, rubber wheels on your car. Tyre. It's a coastal city located in present-day Lebanon. It's about 50 miles south of the capital of Lebanon, Beirut. Its estimated population today is about 200,000, although they don't keep records. And it's north of the country, present-day Israel, Lebanon. There's a map. I think I have a pointer. I might need it. There's a map showing Lebanon, Beirut. It's 50 miles south of that. And here's present-day Israel. There is a satellite photograph. This is Tyre. This air, right here. Okay, it's a coastal city, as I pointed out before. We'll get more, a lot more information in a minute. In the Old Testament, it was located in Phoenicia. And sometimes that area is also called the area of the Sidonians, because you'll see that Tyre and Sidon sometimes get mentioned together. They're very close to each other, both coastal cities as well. In the New Testament, we have Jesus going, traveling to the area of Tyre and Sidon. And this was after he was taken to task because his disciples weren't washing their hands properly before they were eating meals. They weren't following the traditional hand-washing ceremony. And there, he healed a Canaanite woman's daughter. And that's found in Matthew 15. Paul stopped there on his third journey as he was returning, or as he was coming to Jerusalem. He was at the end of his third missionary journey, and he actually stayed 7 days in Tyre. Acts 21, verses 3 through 6. And so this is some maps that I have that kind of show Tyre, that it is part of Phoenicia. There's Phoenicia, and there's Sidon, and there's Tyre, and those are the coastal cities. The Phoenicians were great sailors. They sort of ruled the Mediterranean, did a lot of trade, and so they were very wealthy because of their sailing and their trades in the Mediterranean. All the cities around, all the ports around there they could trade with. Just another map showing this relationship during the kingdom of Saul, about 1000 BC. This is Israel under the kingdom under Saul's kingship in Tyre. Here's the Phoenician area here. Well, there's more than that shown, but it stops about here. You can see that it's about 30 miles. Well, Dan is about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, and it's about another 30 miles west to Tyre. So that's the location. And so it was close to Israel, within certainly traveling distance by walking. And here's Paul's third missionary journey, starting in Antioch, going all around, and eventually coming back through Tyre on his way down to Jerusalem. Okay. Background material. Tyre of the Old Testament. I mentioned this before. It was a major Phoenician commercial city, famous for wealth and beauty. On the coast, sailing all around, a lot of wealth. King Hiram, he was a friend of David, King David. He supplied the wood and the workmanship for David's palace. And he also supplied the cedar and the woodworkers for Solomon's building of the temple. So Tyre, King Tyre was king of King Hiram was the king of that area, Sidonia. And we're talking about, 1000 BC. Keep in mind, as time moves forward, the numbers are going to get smaller. Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab. And the time frame is a little bit later, 869 to 850. She was a princess from Sidonia. So she was from that area. Not a good reputation there. Ezekiel, now we're going to begin to bring it down to where the prophecy is. In Ezekiel, who was a prophet from 593 to 571 BC, it's in his prophecy that he predicted Tyre would be destroyed. And we're going to look at this, and it's in chapter 26. I'll tell you more about this time frame. And there's a apparent a possible contradiction, and that's what people will bring up, and that's why we're going to look at it tonight, in Ezekiel 29, which seems to contradict the prophecy in chapter 26. And so liberal scholars and atheists like to use these passages along with the historical evidence to show that Ezekiel got it wrong. So the prophet Ezekiel got it wrong. His prophecy failed. And you know what that means? Everything in the Bible is not true. Well, maybe not everything, but a lot of it you can't count on, because there's a failed prophecy in the Old Testament. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Okay, Ezekiel's prophecy of the destruction of Tyre are found in chapters 26 through 28, but we're only going to look at the beginning of it. There's a lament, and there's a lot of words in there that you can look at on your own. The historical background that we'd like to go over is, now let's back up in time and let's see what's going on with the nation of Israel. I won't give you a test. Remember King David, Saul, they were all around 1000 B.C., 900 B.C. Things were pretty good then. Solomon, big kingdom, very successful. But shortly after Solomon, things began to go downhill. The kingdom split, and eventually the northern kingdom abandoned God completely, worshipped idols, built up false religion. And in 722 B.C., the Assyrians came in and conquered them and took them away. A hundred years or so later, the Babylonians rise to power, and they come down, and they capture Jerusalem in 606 to 605 B.C., and they carry off some of the brightest people there. Daniel is among that group of people that get carried off into Babylon to train them to be helful to the kingdom, to King Nebuchadnezzar. In 597, there's a little rebellion that goes on, and so the Babylonians have to come back, and the king, whose name is Jehoiachin, there, and some others are taken out of Jerusalem back to Babylon. And one of those taken at this time is Ezekiel. And he is from a priestly family background. So they're taking some of the troublemakers, getting them out of Jerusalem, so that these people will pay their tribute and be good subjects to the nation of Babylon. And he began to prophesy some 5 years later, and he was a prophet for Jerusalem, for the Jews, from 593 to 571, some 22 years, while he was a captive in Babylon. So you have Ezekiel in Babylon prophesying to the Jews, and you have Jeremiah in Jerusalem, and then in Egypt, back in Jerusalem, prophesying to the Jews. So you have two prophets of God telling the Jews what's going on. And I think somebody mentioned this morning, either in class or in the lecture, that, you know, 70 years, that's how much time they were going to spend in captivity and then come back out. So you have these two prophets in these two areas. All right. In 586, finally, Nebuchadnezzar had it with the Jews, and he destroyed the temple, 586. So you can see you've got Ezekiel in the middle of all of this time frame, all this is going on. The Babylonians are conquering them, and eventually they destroy the temple. So that's the background. Now we're going to go and read the prophecy. I mean, we're just going to do a quick read, and then we'll go and do an in-depth read to see, well, is our understanding of it correct, or is there a better understanding of it? So bear with me. We're going to read 14 verses. Starting in chapter 26, verse 1. It says, now it came about in the 11th year. And I underline that because we're talking about, this is the 11th year that Ezekiel has been in Babylon. And it's important to remember this, because when we get to chapter 29, there's going to be another number there. So in the 11th year, on the first of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, Aha! The gateway of the people is broken. It has opened to me. I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I'm against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you, and as the sea brings... And I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. And they will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. And she will become spoils for the nations. Also her daughters, who are on the mainland, will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland with the sword, and he will make siege walls against you, cast up a mound against you, and rise up a large shield against you. And the blow of his battering rams he will direct against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of cavalry and wagons and chariots. When he enters your gates, as men enters a city that is breached, with the hoofs of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people with the sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. Also they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise, break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. So I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more. And I will make you a bare rock, and you will be a place for spreading of nets. You will be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Lord God. Doesn't sound good for Tyre. They got a little too cocky about what happened to Jerusalem. And don't forget, they were friends with the Israelites back in David's day. But here they are. They see northern tribe gone, and now they see Judah gone, and they're ready to plunder, take advantage of the situation that the Jewish people are in. So these verses appear to imply that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the king of kings, would utterly destroy Tyre from the face of the earth. However, there are verses in chapter 29 that imply that Nebuchadnezzar, failed to completely destroy Tyre, and therefore Ezekiel's previous prophecy was not true. And let's just look at this contradiction. It says, now in the 27th year. What was the other year? It was the 11th year. So if my math is right, we're talking about 15 or 16 years here that has transpired since that first prophecy. And it's in the first month, on the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made his army labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was rubbed bare. But he and his army had no wages from Tyre for the labor that he had performed against it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I shall give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will carry off her wealth and capture her spoil and seize her plunder, and it will be wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labors which he performed, because they acted for me, declares the Lord. So this implies that Nebuchadnezzar was not successful in destroying Tyre and getting the wealth from Tyre. But the Lord says, you are acting for me, and therefore I'm going to give you the plunder of Egypt. Doesn't sound good, does it? All right. Well, what's going on? What's the view from a historical perspective of what has taken place in this area? All right. I didn't mention this, but at that time, Tyre, the wealthy Tyre, was an island city surrounded by the sea. You know, I showed you present-day Tyre. It wasn't an island, it was a peninsula. Back then, it was an island surrounded by the sea. There was a second city, and it was Tyre, but we'll call it Old Tyre. And it was on the mainland. And it was about 4 miles south, and it was part of Tyre that supplied the island with water. You normally wouldn't build someplace that there wasn't any water. But that didn't bother these people because they were sailors. They were transporting goods all over the Mediterranean. And they only had to go a few miles from mainland Tyre to island Tyre. And living on an island is much nicer than living on the mainland. And so that was part of Tyre, and they brought their water from this area. The wealth was on the island. And Old Tyre was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. This is historical perspective now. And it was destroyed, you know, shortly after Nebuchadnezzar defeated Jerusalem. He finished off Jerusalem in that 587 raid that he made there, and then he just kind of went up back. You know, they passed by these areas. The highways went right by there as he came from Babylon over the Fertile Crescent down. And so he says, let's go get those guys. And so he took them. But it wasn't so easy. And we're going to get into that. Okay. In fact, he spent 13 years trying to take the wealthy island. It was totally walled. It was about a half a mile offshore. And they just couldn't do it. He didn't have the boats. He didn't have the ships. He didn't have the whatever was necessary to take on a fortified, island, wealthy city. And so, 13 years, he gave up, and God says, have at Egypt, and there you're going to get your spoil. So the prophecy that came a couple years later, chapter 29, is the result of this happening. Not failed prophecy, we'll see. Continuing, move the clock a few hundred years more, and let's see what happens to Tyre. You've got Babylon, then you've got, they succumb to the Medo-Persian Empire, and then they succumb to the Greek Empire. Alexander the Great, he comes, and he comes over from Europe, and he's conquering. And he comes upon Tyre, and he says, oh, they got a lot of wealth out there. Actually, he wanted to worship there. And they said, sorry, not welcome. And he said, okay. And so what did he do? He built a road. 1/3 mile long. That's how far away it was. About 200 feet wide. Because he got a lot of equipment. He can take that wall down. He can just get his bulldozers out there. So he builds a road, and he builds it from the rubble from Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of Old Tyre. So there's, you know, there's parts of buildings and columns and stuff, and he throws it in the ocean, and he builds his road, and in, I think it says, yeah, in 7 months he breaches the walls and he takes the island city. Alexander the Great, 332 B.C. But it wasn't his intent to completely destroy Tyre. I mean, he's kind of doing a lot of conquering, but he's not basically destroying places. He wants these people to be under his rule and supply him with tribute. And similarly here, you know, he wants to enjoy the wealth of the city. And actually some number of years later, Tyre becomes a prominent city again under both Greek and Roman rule. And the rubble from old Tyre was completely removing, leaving no trace of that city today. They don't even know where old Tyre really was, because they took everything, cleaned it up. But they suspect it was, you know, 3-4 miles south of the island area on the mainland. Now, this is what's really interesting. Over the years, ocean currents have filled in the area around the causeway, forming the present-day peninsula. See, you mess around with Mother Nature, you put a road in, and all of a sudden it changes everything. The currents are different. And so, before I show you pictures, let's talk about the history of Tyre after Alexander very quickly. Alexander did not completely destroy Tyre. In 274 BC, some 58 years later, Tyre was given independent status under Ptolemy number 2 and was treated favorably by the Greeks and the Romans. And once again, Tyre becomes a showpiece in the Greco-Roman world as late as 400 AD. So it becomes again this great palace of wealth and beauty. And 638, though, AD now, we're in AD, 638 AD, the Arabs conquered Tyre. In 1114, it was captured by the Crusaders. And in 1292, and I don't know how to say this, I'll say Mamluk Muslims, they conquer Tyre, and this time they reduce it to ashes. So it's taken all this time for that prophecy that sort of was in the first chapter 26 here to sort of be taking place. And so now we're going to go back and look at the prophecy and see, well, does it really tell us that that's going to happen? And maybe we can see that there. And in 1570, Tyre became part of the Ottoman Empire or Turkish Empire. And in recent years, it's part of Lebanon and it's being developed as a tourist attraction. And the importance of Roman ruins today, you know, there's Roman ruins there and there's the modern town, and all these things are preventing archaeological studies that could go down to the level where Ezekiel's time and Alexander's time frame were, you know, down to the Phoenician time frame. So, you know, typically they build on top of the cities, and there's too much either Roman ruins that they don't want to disturb, and also modern day structures. So not much archaeological work is going on a lot of the island of Tyre, the former island of Tyre. So here's some pictures for you. Pictures worth 1,000 words. Here's this island with the wall around it. It had a couple of harbors, one to the north and one to the south. And there was actually another island here that's now submerged. Old Tyre over here, part of the mainland. Okay, and here's your scale. That's 1,000 yards there, that distance right there. All right, what happened? Wrong button. Okay, here's the causeway that was built by Alexander. So he's connecting the mainland to the island. And I don't know if you can see this, but there's a dashed line here and here, which shows where the present-day coastline is. So you can see this filled in and this filled in with silt. So this harbor still is there today and in use. This harbor is filled in, so you can't see it anymore. It's not in use. Okay. This is an 18th century map of the area showing, you know, some buildings here, farmland here, and maybe ancient Tyre was, old Tyre was somewhere down here. But by this time, we have the peninsula formed. And then here's an aerial view of Tyre. And you can see that there's a lot of buildings that are actually on that causeway area. You know, the filled inland, there's a lot of buildings on it. And about maybe half of the island Tyre is populated with buildings. Here's that harbor that we're talking about. It's still in use. And then this area over here is for tourists to look at and has some of the ruins and things like that. So that's the way it is today. This is the a Roman structure that was put at the beginning of the causeway area. All right, 65-foot high arch. It was like arches as you enter things, and the road, which was a colonnaded road leading to the island. And here's the continuation of the colonnaded road, some of the ruins of ancient times. And you can see the size. Here's a person versus, you know, massive structures, a 65-foot big entryway. And so this was, you know, back in the heyday of the Roman Empire. This was a beautiful place to go to. Okay. Now we want to kind of spend the rest of the evening kind of looking back at that prophecy and see if we can see how historically what has happened fits in with what Ezekiel's prophecy was really saying. And we're going to break it into three sections. So we've got those 14 verses. We're going to have a section I'm going to call the They section, or the Many Nations section. Then there's going to be a few verses that's going to talk about the Nebuchadnezzar and the He section, prophecies related to Nebuchadnezzar, and then you finish up with another few verses of the They section. Let's go back. So we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. And they will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. And I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I've spoken, declares the Lord God. She will become a spoil for the nations. Also her daughters who are on the mainland will be slain by the sword. And they will know that I am the Lord." So, and just in this prophecy, you see there's mainland and island being mentioned. And there's many nations coming up against Tyre. And they're going to come up to them in waves, like the sea. Okay, so this isn't just going to be somebody's going to come up and level it. There's going to be a continual wave action, one attack after another. All right, they, these nations, are going to do the destruction, the nations, and the mainland folks are also going to be slain. Okay, so that's that first section. And if we think about what we've talked about now, historically, it's sort of beginning to fit as to what has actually took place to Tyre. Now here's the He section, verses 7 through 11. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, and his great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland." Where? "On the mainland with the sword. And he will make siege walls against you and cast up a mound against you and raise up large shields against you. And the blow of his battering rams will direct toward your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised," and we just go on and on and on about this. But this is Nebuchadnezzar's attack on them, on Tyre. And it's he does these things, okay? It talks about the mainland, all right? And so certainly he has a major role in the destruction of Tyre. And then finally finishing up the they section, it says also, then it kind of goes to also, "They will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise, break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water." Who did that? Alexander. "So I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more, and I will make your you a bare rock, you will be place of, for spreading of nets, talking about the fishing industry, and you will be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Lord God. So there's the bay section and debris being thrown in the water. So I would conclude that the prophecy of the destruction of Tyre involved many nations, each attacking like waves pounding on an object. The first wave was Nebuchadnezzar, then there was Alexander, then the Crusaders, and finally some 2,000 years later, the Mamluk Muslims. And there is no longer a famous, wealthy city of Tyre. And as you saw, you know, on the map, they've got some buildings now there, and they're trying to get tourists to go there, but it isn't the Tyre of Solomon's day, it isn't the Tyre of Jesus' day, it's not the Tyre of the Roman Greco world, it's what it is today. So, what do I want to conclude from this? Well, in the 14 verses that we looked at, I think we can make these safe conclusions. The rubble from Tyre would be put in the sea. And that's how Alexander the Great built his road. He literally stripped all of the rubble from old Tyre and used it as building material for the road that he needed to get to the island. And once he got there, he made small time of tearing down the walls, breaching the walls with his army and taking the city. And if we look closely at the passage, you know, it didn't say Nebuchadnezzar was going to conquer Tyre and get its wealth. He did conquer mainland or old Tyre. The complete destruction of Tyre would be accomplished gradually by one nation after another. And we saw that unfolding as different nations attacked this wealthy island city. In the end, Tyre would be destroyed down to bare rock and never be restored to its full beauty. The final destruction took place in 1291 AD, some 2,000 years later after Ezekiel's prophecy. Pretty amazing. Prophecy fulfilled over a 2,000 year time frame. Now, Ezekiel 29:17 does not contradict it. It just is in complete agreement with secular history. It's in complete agreement. So, again, we have proof that the prophecies that have been given by God through inspired writing in the Bible, when we look at it carefully, we see that the prophecy has been fulfilled. Well, Jesus believed in prophecy. I mean, if he felt that Ezekiel got it wrong, he probably tells. But he believed in prophecy. In fact, he said in Matthew 5, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And in Luke 24, he said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So Jesus knew that prophecy was important.